Just a little more sound level in the choir loft, please. This week we continue a two-part series called The Good Life? Question mark. And last week, which is traditionally Good Shepherd Sunday in the cycle of the church calendar, I suggested that this good life or abundant life of that fairly famous verse from John 10:10 is an invitation to a way of following Jesus that runs countercultural to the dominant message that faces us in our culture day to day. And last week I said that as we reflected on John 10 and 1 John 3, it seems to be a down and out movement. And so that's why we're talking about this good life, question mark, really? Down and out? This good life of journeying down with Christ as he lays his life down for the other. This good life, and then we reflected on 1 John 3:16 to 18, and some of you maybe even took it with you last week and posted it somewhere or carried it with you as we tried to live into and out of even that passage from the epistle, of how we're invited by the word to move out, to be a people who love not merely with words, but with action and truth. So how did that go for us last week? We won't be too hard on ourselves. This is not quick fix stuff. And as I say many Sundays, this is, as Eugene Peterson puts it, a long obedience in the same direction. So this week, we live into and out of the story of John 15. And I'm offering another point to ponder about the good life. That getting pruned comes with the territory of the good life. And we might respond, the good life? Getting pruned? Really? I thought the good life was, not, ouch! This pruning exhortation of John 15 is Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room. So just to remind you of context, he's washed the disciples' feet. He's predicted his betrayal. He's released Judas to do the dark deed. He's predicted Peter's denial. All this happening in John 13. And in the midst of this drama, this emotion, can you feel the tension in the room? The disciples, maybe with eyes as wide as teacup saucers, looking at Jesus going, huh? And Jesus responds with what's commonly called the farewell discourse. And Jesus shares these words of comfort, care, challenge, encouragement, mystery, probably befuddlement, prodding, and then in today's text, I want us to reflect on this idea of pruning. In the first 8 verses of John 15, the repeating message is that we abide in Jesus. And we've heard this word in the epistle reading this morning, and then again, many times in our text, even from these first 8 verses. And this might be an old-fashioned word, abide. The Greek word for abiding is translated as stay or remain. And it's interesting to note that in the book of John and the 3 epistles of John, this word abide shows up no less than 64 times. Abide, abide, rest, remain, stay. And in Frederick Dale Bruner's translation, which is on the back of your bulletin, and so you might want to keep that handy as we're walking through the text this morning. In his translation, he translates abide as make a home. Other contemporary translations go even as casual as hang in there. Jesus saying, hang in there with me as I hang in there with you. And so however you best to choose to imagine abiding, recognize that in today's text, it's putting our hands, our lives into the hands of a vine grower. And Jesus companioning with us in the midst of it all. We are in good hands, and we are not alone. And when we allow ourselves to be in the hands of the vine grower in verse 2, we read, removes every branch that bears no fruit. That's the ouch versus the ah of life on the vine. So I want to keep on helping our imaginations this morning. Are we willing to put our lives in the hands of a God who prunes? Do we really believe in phrases like no pain, no gain, no guts, no glory? You've heard those before? Or today it might be no prune, no product. You know these phrases. Do we really believe them? And what does it feel like for us to put our lives in the hands of a God who prunes? If Jesus is the good shepherd, if he's bread, if he's light, if he's door, if he's way, if he's truth, if he's life, then what does it look like for us to dig deeper into this life of being pruned by a vine grower, into this way of wholeness, healing, growth, strength, fullness? So I want us to try to imagine being in good hands. Can you think of an example where you put your life in good hands so that you might grow or be nurtured or heal? Can you think of a place? Or maybe yours are the good hands. Maybe yours are the good hands that people put their lives into to be cared for, to be nurtured, to be grown. Think about that. I want us to try to drum up our imaginations here. Any thoughts where you feel like you're in good hands? I've got a few minutes to roam. Any examples where you feel like you put your life in good hands so that you can be cared for and nurtured and grown? Sheila.
Yes. David's been away in China for 3 weeks. He's worried about being alone and wondering how he's going to manage. And I just had great friends who've taken me into their hands and really helped me to, like one that's here today.
All right. Thanks, Sheila. Good hands, the good hands of good friends.
Yes.
Great image, great image. Anyone else? Just something where you just feel like, okay, this is the place I need to be in as I think about being in good hands with a vine-growing God. Cello.
When our family goes to Kenya to work, we are both doctors. We are far away from the skills and help that we need. There I feel like I can ask for help and receive it to look after patients that need it because I don't have anything that's familiar to me. And it's been a really profound spiritual experience for me that helps me in my work back home.
Good, thank you. These are great images of being in good hands. And so, just to prime the pump, because that's the head and heart space we need to be as we hear a text like John 15, that we're in good hands, we're in a safe place, we're in a nurturing place, we're in a place of wholeness, a place of healing, a place of security. So with these images filling our imaginations, let's enter into the story. Verse 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You," and this is a plural you, "y'all are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, y'all can do nothing." There's this link between our fruit bearing and abiding. Another helpful thing that Bruner does in his commentary is he recognizes that as North Americans, we might not be able to imagine vine branches culture as well because we're a root, trunk, branches culture. I thought that was a great point. And he says, imagine Jesus as being the root, the church as being the trunk, and the disciples being the branches. And so if that's helpful, hopefully that'll help you as you enter the text too. That's why his translation, which is on the back of the bulletin for verse 4 and 5, goes like so. Make your home with me as I am with you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit all by itself, but only when it makes its home in the root, no more can you bear fruit unless you make your home in me. I am the root of the matter. You disciples are the branches. The individual making a home with me, as I am with her or him, there is the person bearing much fruit. Because the fact of the matter is this: apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Do you see the good news in this fact of the matter statement? That the doing of the church and the doing of disciples needs to be rooted, supported, birthed by this life of abiding or making our homes in the heart of Jesus, the good hands of a good vine grower. And we're not supposed to conjure this bearing much fruit thing up in our own strength. You and I are released from doing more and proving more. One of my laments in churchland over the past decade or so has been just hearing of churches where the MO of the church is, if we only crank out more Jesus product as much as we can, as fast as we can, as hyper-infused as we can, if we only collect as many Jesus commitment cards as we can, that's the good life. I was driving through the city during the Easter season, and I drove by this one church that was advertising Easter 3D. And I was thinking, how do we compete with Easter 3D? They're not only doing Easter, but they're bringing it to us in. And all I had to work was the John 20 text. There's not enough voices saying, let's respond to the invitation to make our home in Jesus, to go to the root of the matter, to make our dwelling place there, and see how the vine grower calls us to places of life, nurture, care, and fruit bearing. Life, nurture, care, and fruit bearing. These verses from 4 and 5 are welcoming, homey, right? Make your home in me. But as we push into this text, we've got to stop at verse 6 because it's got this zinging nature to it. What's up with verse 6? Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. In the midst of this invitation to make our home with Jesus, Jesus warns that there's a way to throw away our lives. This is not hell and damnation talk. When you imagine a good vine grower in good hands, do you at the same time imagine her or him angrily stomping through the vineyard, grabbing all the dead branches, laughing like this evil mad person, throwing them into the fire, saying, take that, you worthless branches, burn, burn, burn in everlasting torment. What do you do with dead or broken branches in your yard? Throw them in the garbage? When I was growing up as a kid and we had branches in the backyard, we had this great burning barrel in the backyard. And so we got to burn the branches, and it was fun. It was backyard campfire fun. So this is more likely a statement from Jesus on the reality that there's this way to throw away your life, as onto a garbage pile, as into a fire, where you get trashed, you get burnt up. And it's a way of living a life that opposes the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, whatever is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the way of the fruit. But there's a way that we can live, and it's even noted in Galatians 5, too, that looks like the anti-fruit. Strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. There's this way that we can live, the way of the flesh, where we run away from the root of the matter. And we end up in places of death, isolation, and separation. Lord, have mercy on us. And so the good news of Jesus is then repeated in verse 7 and 8. The pruned ones will bear and become. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, there's some in-between stuff there that I'm going to skip, that ask for whatever you want and it will be given to you, lines from Jesus. And many a name it and claim it, get rich quick, spirituality has been built on that. But leave it, suffice it to say that there is something wonderful and gracious about our lives being in the hands of a good vine grower, where when we live into that life, into that space, when we are making our home in God's heart and God's ways, God does grant the desires of our hearts. So I'll leave it at that, because I want to close our time by saying a few words about bearing and becoming. You've heard me say that our destiny and call as the people of God is about following Jesus for the good of the world. I often use that phrase, following Jesus for the good of the world. But with today's text, I'd like to rephrase that as bearing and becoming for the good of the world. How might we, in tangible, practical ways, bear fruit and become disciples for the good of the world? And so maybe a closing question for reflection. Are we bearing good fruit and becoming disciples for the good of the world? I think when I reflect on our life as a people together, a community of faith, I think many of us can say yes, yes. And so the reminder this morning is to stay rooted. Don't keep on cranking out all this work in your own strength. Stay rooted. Make your home in Jesus, in the hands of a good vine grower, as God and Christ make their home in you. We disciples who are the branches, who are a part of this local tree trunk called First Baptist Church, need to keep finding our lives rooted in the presence of a living Christ. If we've lost our way, though, then maybe with humble hearts, let's do the work of what it takes to return to the root of the matter, to make our home anew in this place of the one who prunes us, who cleanses us, who cuts back things in our hearts, that we might increase and move forward in our devotion. Again, I want to remind us, this is not quick fix stuff. This is a long obedience in the same direction. This is a pattern of turning and returning to Christ, the living Christ, the one who is vine, who is truth, who is way, who is life, who is shepherd, who is door, who is light, who is bread. And as we move towards the table of the Lord this morning, what a great opportunity to make our home anew with Jesus, to feed on Christ, who in John 6 says, "I am the bread of life." John 6, Jesus talks about this profound mystery and this reality of his bread being life, his blood being the drink of life. In John 6, verse 56, and we'll close with this verse to reflect on. "The person who is feasting on my flesh and drinking in my blood is the very person who is making a home with me, and I am making my home with that person." As we feed on Christ, as we drink in the cup of mercy and the cup of salvation this morning, Christ makes his home in us. As we make our home in the hands of Christ, the hands of a good vine grower. So I want to give you a moment of silence to sit with this text. Maybe sit with the text that's written on the back of your bulletin, or if you prefer your Bible translation, hold that open with you. Or maybe even think of John 6, 56, where Jesus says, "The one who feasts on my flesh, who drinks in my blood, is the very person who is making a home with me, and I am making a home with that person." moment of silence, and then Gerald will lead us in our hymn of approach as we continue to move towards this table of welcome this morning.